What is the population of heaven? What is the population of hell? Awkward questions, but important questions to reflect upon. And in order to reflect upon them properly, we have to get this gospel right. Because I have heard many use this gospel in ways that have become a weapon against the innocent. Dare I say, a weapon against those who are traveling the narrow path but are being denied. So how do we understand this passage? First of all, Jesus is preaching in the village and someone asks him, the famous unnamed someone from Scripture. We don't know their name, but we do know by extension where they're from, because when Jesus makes reference later to the fact that they will see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom, but they won't be there, implies this is a child of Israel. This is a fellow Jew. This is somebody under the covenant. The people in the Old Testament uniquely set apart. The language that we use for holiness, to be set apart, to be given a unique relationship. But he's on the outs, looking in. He's on the outside. What happened? When we look at it from this standpoint, it begins to change how we see this. This isn't just some random person who is saying, Lord, how do I get to heaven? If anything, it's like, Lord, I am one of the children of Israel. Tell me I'm going to go to heaven. And what is Jesus' response to that someone? Strive to enter the narrow gate. Interesting. He didn't say, well, of course, if you're a child of Israel, surely you will go to heaven. Strive to enter the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will attempt, but will not be strong enough. And then at the end of this passage, in this beautiful image, people will be coming from the north, the south, the east, the west. That's biblical language from every part of the world. Gentiles, heathens, pagans, sinners will be coming and reclining in the kingdom with the Lord. But you will be outside wailing and grinding your teeth. We have to get this right to understand this passage properly. Otherwise, this passage does not become something that's spiritually freeing, but it can be a weapon against the innocent. My dad, believe it or not, got this scripture passage. When I was 18, I thought my dad was pretty dumb. Amazing what he's learned since then. Because one day, a buddy of his from the paper mill where he worked at said, oh, Jerry, you are so lucky you're going right to heaven. My dad's like, what do you mean? Well, you gave your son to God to be a priest. You're going right to heaven. I was so proud of my dad. He said, one, I didn't give my son to God. He kind of chose that on his own. And two, just because he's a priest doesn't mean I'm going to heaven. I have to live my life of faith too. He gets it. Because if my dad would have said, oh yeah, huge sacrifice, I gave my kid to be a priest, I'm going to go to heaven. Welcome to the someone. Welcome to the someone that Scripture references. Presumption. Dare I even say we need to be careful. I'm Catholic. I'm going to heaven. The tools are there. The means are there. Are you following through the narrow gate or not? Sadly, this someone is rearing its head on many social media channels these days. And I know because you send them to me. Father, listen to this. Father, watch that. Father, what about this? What about that? And I remember I hate being dean. I'll be very honest about that. Being a dean is not pleasant. And I had about 48 hours of a honeymoon, and then it was over. And in that time, I was asked to be a part of this young man who has a national podcast, who, because of circumstances happening in the diocese at that time, thought, man, the Diocese of La Crosse must really be messed up. And now, don't get me wrong, we are screwed up, but not in the way this young man presented it. There's a couple different things we can look at here. And this young man must have had a lot of time on his hands, because he went through and he searched through all the web pages of the parishes in our diocese. And there was this one web page that he saw this female staff member with the title of pastoral minister. And as often is the case with social media figures, did not do any research, did not actually take the time to find out what the reality is, but just blasted this woman on his podcast for being a priest wannabe, a heretic, someone who's trying to ruin the church, someone who's going to end up grinding their teeth on the outs looking in. Who was this person? You might know her. Seal Marshall. Seal Marshall. A woman who is a loving mother, hired at Sacred Heart St. Patrick Parish to visit the homebound. Because I know, as my flock finds themselves in care facilities more, I can't make it everywhere. And she was healed, hopefully she's healed after what she went through. She was called to go out to those in care facilities. She has no desire to be a priest, no desire to somehow put forward some radical feminist agenda, as this guy was saying on his page. It was a bold-faced lie. I give the young man credit. After being reached out to, he apologized. But sadly, he apologizes how social media figures apologize. And as do politicians and athletes, fill in the blank. Well, I've come to learn that I was wrong about Seal. Finally mentioned her name, by the way. I've come to find she's a very devout Catholic. But this priest, why does he call her a pastoral minister? Shame on him. He must be a bad priest. To that, so I don't become too ranty, because I don't like being ranty up here, all I can say is two things. One, if you ever hear me say to you that you can't trust any priest, you can't trust the Pope, you can't trust any bishop, you can't trust any layperson, can't trust any theologian, can't trust anybody in the pews with you, can't trust your pastor, the only one you can trust in terms of how to interpret the Catholic Church is me, run from me. That is not the church, that's a cult. Run from me. And two, please pray for Father Brian Ujeski as he continues his leave of absence from the priesthood. And do not think for a second this garbage that's coming up online doesn't affect us. Father Brian's not a perfect priest, but he's striving for the narrow gate, as is Seal. It's time for us to end the stupidity that's happening online. Father's moment's done. I don't like having moments. Thank you for enduring it. Gotta end positive. So what does it mean to go through the narrow gate? What does it mean to strive through the narrow gate? I was reminded of it this week. There was a man who made an appointment with me, a man I haven't seen for years. Last time I saw him was when I was Regis Chaplain. Got to know him. You actually probably know him too if you've been downtown. Most likely you've walked by him and seen him. He likes to hang out in parks. Probably have seen him there. He's kind of a quasi-homeless man. He's kind of in and out of homelessness. He always has got his backpack with him. He's someone that, to be quite frank, it wouldn't surprise, and I wouldn't judge you for it, what you might feel a little uncomfortable around. But I know him well. And he found out that I'm at St. Olaf, and since he hadn't seen me for years, oh, I gotta go see Father James. And he came in, and he did what he always did back when I was Regis Chaplain years ago. Sat down in my office, took out his backpack, opened it up, and what was inside? His Bible, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and I'm guessing 6 to 10 spiral notebooks that he's loaded with questions. He opened up the Bible and he said, "Father, this passage from Luke, I don't understand it. I was looking at the catechism, I'm even more concerned." Walked into my office as the spiritual equivalent of Bartimaeus. "Father, I'm blind. Can you help me see?" And I essentially said to him, "Well, I'm blind too. But maybe if we ask for the Holy Spirit to come into our meeting, look at Scripture and the Catechism, maybe the Lord can show us the narrow gate." I didn't put it in that precise of terms, but that's essentially what we did. How refreshing that was for me. How life-giving that was for me. Finally, somebody who came in and asked me to do something that I'm actually trained to do and not ask me to be an armchair expert on boiler maintenance. Someone who actually had the courage to say, "Father, you're a priest. Can we talk?" Versus hearing instead people come in and, "Oh, gossip about bishop this, and gossip about pope that, and gossip about priest this." Gossip is the devil's manna. Do not eat it, lest you die. Truth is the manna of Christ. So therefore, my dear friends, what's the population of heaven? What's the population of hell? The beautiful thing about this is that as Catholics, as many it seems these days in the church have forgotten, a core teaching of the church, we don't declare who's in hell. We only declare saints in the Catholic Church. Now, does that mean we don't believe in hell? Of course we believe in hell. There is judgment. We've heard enough speculation of who's in hell. Instead, let us pursue the narrow gate. Let us be like the man who came to my office, who wasn't eating the devil's manna, but seeking the manna of Christ. Let us together walk with the Lord and walk with one another so that we can joyfully enter the population of heaven, instead of allowing our arrogance and presumption to number us among those in hell.